Go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 14. We have been in the Gospel of John for some time now. I think this is, and I hesitate to say this, lest this discourage you, but I think it's the 54th message out of the Gospel of John, the 53rd. But we are moving. I believe we are anyway. And we'll be in John chapter 14, and I'll begin reading in verse 16. So when you find it, if you'll stand with me, a reminder that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the upper room with his disciples. Just read down. We're not going to read the whole thing, but begin in verse 16. We'll land in verse 26 as well. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Amen.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I will not leave you comfortless.
Amen.
I will come to you.
Praise
yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him.
Amen.
And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things,
Amen.
And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We'll stop there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
Lord, it's a joy to be able to have your very words in our hands. And I do pray, as I do my best, Lord, and yield myself as best as I know how, to preach your word, that it would go forth with power and clarity,
yes.
That you would please speak to hearts, that all eyes would not be on the preacher, but on you.
Amen.
Lord, I do pray if someone's here today, it's not saved, that today they'd come to know Christ as Savior. And for the believer, that you would give us this truth from your word that Christ is giving to his disciples,
Amen.
That we indeed have a comforter.
Praise
Thank you for that. Please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds today. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John chapter 14, we find the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the city of Jerusalem, he is there. He's been there for, I would say, probably, as far as in this upper room, a couple hours with 11 now of his 12 apostles. Judas, of course, having departed this scene when the night began, he was there. But Christ had said to his disciples that one of them would betray him. And it was revealed that it would be Judas. And he identified him by the one that dipped the sop after he did. And after that was revealed, Judas left. And so now here he is with the 11. He's at the end of his 3.5 year ministry. For 3.5 years, Jesus Christ has been ministering in his public ministry. Yes, he's about 30 years old at this time, but he was introduced at about the age of 30 by John the Baptist, who said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He was baptized by John the Baptist. He went on to begin his ministry by choosing his 12 apostles. He began his church. He performed many miracles. He preached many messages, taught many lessons, instituted the Lord's Supper. He even presented himself to the Jewish nation as their Messiah, only to be rejected.
Amen.
Now here he is on the eve of his crucifixion. In just a few short hours, the Lord Jesus Christ will be betrayed. He would be arrested. He would be falsely accused and convicted. And the same crowds that just earlier were shouting out, Hosanna in the highest, will be then shouting out, Crucify him! Crucify him! And he would be sentenced to death by crucifixion. Something that was indeed, no doubt, in the plan of God, but not in the plans of the disciples.
Amen.
Although he repeatedly said this to them over and over, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, rise from the dead. For some reason, it didn't quite sink in. Perhaps it's because they were like us. Sometimes it doesn't sink in. And now he is meeting here in this upper room with his disciples to prepare them for what lies ahead. He knows what's coming in a few hours, and he's trying to prepare them for life when he is physically gone.
Amen.
And he's making the most of these last few moments. In John chapter 13, he had supper with them. He washed their feet. He instituted the Lord's Supper. Revealed to them that someone was a phony. He went on to tell them all kinds of things. But he told them one thing that was no doubt the most disturbing news imaginable. And that's he's leaving.
Amen.
He's going away.
Amen.
You see, the disciples had the idea that the Messiah would come to deliver them, not in the way that they thought, but they thought to deliver the Jews from Roman oppression. They thought Jesus would come to Jerusalem, he would sit on the throne of David, and he would rule and reign as their king. And they wanted to be a part of that. I would have too. I want to be a part of a winning team, amen? But that's why we read in Luke chapter 22 and verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. In other words, Lord, when you set up this kingdom, what position am I going to get? Could I rule over 2 cities, or maybe 5 cities, or maybe 10 cities? Where am I going to be? But instead they heard him say, no, I'm leaving. And here in chapter 14, he is giving them some comforting words that would get them through the days of ahead. And he began by telling them that, yes, he's going back to heaven, but they're going to be there too.
Praise the Lord.
And when he comes, he's going to receive them unto himself.
Amen.
He also told them that the work that they would do would, while he is gone, the Great Commission will actually see greater results than what he saw. And that although he would be gone, that they would be able to talk with him and fellowship with him and bring their concerns to him, but in a different way, later it will be through prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And now he's going to give them a fourth comforting truth. And may I say a truth that I need.
Amen.
And I believe you need as well.
But
it is a truth that he's going to tell them that was new to them.
Amen.
They never heard anything like this before.
Right.
Something that they never heard. Something they never heard the Pharisees say. Something they never read in the Old Testament scriptures prior to this.
Amen.
You say, what is it? Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Notice the end of verse 17. For he dwelleth in you, with you, and shall be in you.
Amen.
Now, if I were one of those disciples in that upper room, this is how I would have responded. Huh? Dwell with me, Comforter, and be in me?
Amen.
What is the Lord talking about? This morning I'm going to preach on this subject, and I think I might have used this title before, but it fits appropriately, I think, for this message, and that is this. We are not in this alone.
Amen.
Can I encourage you this morning? I want to try.
Amen.
Encourage and challenge at the same time. That as you and I, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're trying to live the Christian life, and you're trying to do right, understand something very important. You and I, we are not in this thing alone.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
There's somebody with us.
Amen.
You know, I'm the youngest of 4 siblings. I have 2 older brothers, 1 older sister than me. And growing up, my 2 brothers kind of hung out with each other because of their age was close. And then me and my sister, not that there's a tremendous gap in the age, but my brothers were closer to one another growing up. We're all pretty close now, but me and my sister were close when we were growing up. And being the youngest, and as a little boy, the youngest in the family, and I did not like being alone. I asked this in the 8:30 service. I said, who likes being alone? Does anybody like being alone? I had a few people raise their hand. I really did. And that's fine. Some people do. I don't. And as a young boy, I did not. And so what I do quite often is if I'd wake up at night, I'd actually slip out of my room. And my sister had her own room. And so I'd walk into her room and I'd say, you awake? And she'd say, uh-huh. And I'd crawl up in bed there with her and we'd talk. And we'd talk and talk. We'd play mind games, if you will. For example, we used to start with the game, pick a number from 1 to 10. How many remember that game? And then we would move on to 20 questions. I'm thinking of someone, and you got 20 questions. You know how it is. Answer yes or no. To this day, if you were to say to my sister, if I were to say to her, pick a number from 1 to 10, she'd know exactly what I was talking about. Because night after night, I'd be in there, and we'd start, pick a number from 1 to 10. And my point is this. It was just nice to have somebody there. Was comforting. But again, as a believer, as a Christian, as a saved person, understand, we are not in this by ourselves. We have not been abandoned by God, but we have someone that is not only with us, but someone that is in us.
Amen.
Who is it?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And Christ is explaining this, or trying to, to his disciples.
Amen.
And I'm going to try to explain it to us today.
Amen.
As well. Notice, first of all, as we look at our text, number one, the Comforter introduced. He introduces them. Never saw that word before. Capital C, you see it? You go through the Old Testament, you don't read that word. And Christ tells him here in verse 16 that he's going to pray to the Father, and God the Father is going to give them another Comforter.
Amen.
Now we understand, being on this side of the Scriptures, having the complete Bible, we understand what he's saying here. But can you imagine being there?
Amen.
The Comforter. This was not the last time that Christ would use this phraseology. Look over, if you would, at chapter 14 and verse 26. I read that one this morning. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Look at chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter has come, mentions him again. Notice chapter 16 and verse 7. We read, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, notice the Comforter will not come unto you.
Amen.
Who's he talking about? Well, notice three things about this Comforter. First of all, number one, his person. Who is he? Do you know he's a person? Notice the pronoun there in chapter verse 16, that he may abide with you forever. Then in verse 26, Christ defines who this person is. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit of God. When I was on staff at the Bible College in Downingtown, we had a bus route. We served through Landmark Baptist Church while I was on staff there. And one Saturday doing bus visitation, I remember knocking on a door. I remember the exact house it was. And I knocked on the door to talk about a bus, to talk to a bus kid and his mom. And, you know, the man, there wasn't a man in the situation, but a man answered the door. And the man asked, I told him where I was from. He says, well, I'm a Muslim. And so we got into a little talk about that, and he said to me this. He said, you know, the Bible tells us about Muhammad coming. I said, it does. He said, it does. I said, I'd like to see that one. And so he says, sure. And he took out a Bible and he went to verse 16 and he read that to me, where the Bible says the Father will give you another Comforter. He says, that's Muhammad. I said, well, you may try to twist the Scriptures there in verse 16 to make people think that, but you're going to have a problem with verse 26. Because it tells us who the Comforter is. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit of God is who we refer to as the third person of the Godhead. You see, the Bible is very clear that we serve one God. There is one true and living God, and He manifests Himself in three different ways. God the Father, who is in heaven. God the Son, who came to earth, robed in flesh, and is coming again. And then God the Holy Spirit. All three are co-equal, co-existent, and eternally existent. All three are God. So the person of the Holy Spirit, He's talking about as God.
Amen.
1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You could go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse speaks of all three. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the Son, and the love of God, there's the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, there's the Holy Spirit, be with you all three co-equal, all three God. You know, even in our text in verse 16, we see the Godhead there, and I, that's Jesus, He's the Son, will pray the Father, there's God the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, there's the Holy Spirit. Even in verse 23 at the very end, and we will come unto Him, that's talking about the God. So the Comforter He's speaking of is God Himself. That's His person. But notice, secondly, His presence. It's interesting because we read in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. How would, Jesus said, the Comforter will come, and we see His person is God. How will He manifest Himself to us? Will we see Him? Is it someone we're supposed to be looking for while He's in our service? Is He visible? Could they touch Him like they touched the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is no. He's a spirit. Notice the two things we're told about Him. Number one, He would reside in believers. Jesus Christ is telling His disciples that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, will not only dwell with them, but He will indeed and in fact be in them, the end of verse 17.
Amen.
Kind of reminds me of the Old Testament tabernacle. The Old Testament tabernacle, when the sacrifices were made and the blood was brought in the Holy of Holies and it was sprinkled on the mercy seat. You remember what happened? It was the Shekinah glory that came and manifested and dwelt the tabernacle in that tabernacle. That's how He manifested in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, He has a new tabernacle, and it's not a building made out of brick and stones, but it's in the believer in me. And you, He'll reside in us. See, Christ is trying to ensure them that His departure from them should not make them shake. It should not alarm them, because after He goes, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, will come and indwell you and them, and shall be in them, and notice, forever.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Forever. You know, if you're here and you're saved this morning, the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. He, God Himself, in the person of His Spirit, is tabernacling in you. He's there never to leave you. And you got Him, by the way, the moment you got saved. Oh, I like what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And I want to ask all of us this morning, I want to challenge us, if you're saved and you're here today, don't you understand that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you and in me? What an awesome thought. So while God outwardly dwelt with the disciples in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Christ departs, He will inwardly dwell in the disciples in the person of the Holy Spirit. Well, that should have comforted them.
Amen.
Because that meant whatever happened to them, wherever they went, one could go to Africa, and by the way, they did. Some could go to the East. Some could go different places in the world. While all of them may have dispersed to different places, every one of them had the Spirit of Jesus Christ in them. Never to depart. He would reside in believers. There's a second thing he says here, that notice he would be restricted to believers. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, notice, cannot receive.
Amen.
Do you know the Holy Spirit of God is only given to believers?
Amen.
While the Holy Spirit of God does have a ministry in this world, he does have a ministry to unbelievers. We're going to see that in John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7 in a little bit. But understand, the Holy Spirit is only given. He only indwells believers. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says this, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Amen.
You say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, you may want to check your salvation then.
Amen.
Because if you're saved, the Spirit of God is in you.
Praise the Lord.
So we see his person, we see his presence, but then thirdly, we see his purpose. Christ is telling them, why is he given? Notice in verse 18, he says, after he calls him the Comforter, in verse 16, he says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless.
Amen.
Do you know, in essence, the Holy Spirit would fill the place of Christ in their lives?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
But even better, as I said, he'd be with all of them. And we see some of his purposes here in our text. Notice in verse 18, we see that he's there to encourage us. I will not leave you comfortless. Do you know the word comforter means one who comes alongside? It has the idea of someone who's there with you, alongside of you, someone who is encouraging you, someone who is there with you. And what he does, he consoles us when we're cast down. He encourages us when we need encouragement. He guides us when we're perplexed. And he gives us the grace that we need when there's a need in our lives.
Amen.
Thank God for the Comforter.
Amen.
But you know, he also enables us. Do you know that the English word comforter means more than merely a consoler? It comes from the Latin word, a combination, con fortis, which means this, con, to come alongside of. Fortis means strong. By that I mean this, the Comforter not only comes alongside of us, but the Comforter comes alongside for the purpose of giving us strength. You may say here today, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I just can't live this Christian life. I just can't obey His commands. I just can't do what's right. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It is the Comforter, it is the Spirit of God that enables us to obey His commands, that enables us to live the Christian life, that enables us to accomplish His work in this world.
Amen.
I just can't deal with the people I work with. Yes, you can if you have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I just can't deal with what's going on in our society. I can't deal with the laws they're passing. I can't deal with it. Yes, you can.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You have someone there with you.
Hallelujah.
It's in you.
Glory to God. Amen.
The truth of the matter is we can't do it in our own strength.
Right. Amen.
But we can do it by His Spirit.
Praise
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How? How? Through His Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So again, His purpose is He encourages us, He enables us. But then He does the third thing. Notice verse 26. He echoes Christ's words.
Amen.
I like this one. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. He brings to remembrance the Word of God. As you and I are going through this world, as we face trials, as we face temptations, as we face things, we hear the Spirit of God quite often whisper the words of God in our ears. Sometimes He says this, you really shouldn't be doing that. Sometimes He says this, you really need to get this out of your life. Sometimes He says this, you shouldn't be listening to that, you shouldn't be going there. He speaks to us, He takes the Word of God and He echoes it when we need it.
Amen.
I was thinking of the funeral yesterday with Ruth, and before I had she had passed, I had the opportunity to see her, and me and Lance were with her. And he had mentioned yesterday that was when we happened to be there, it was a privilege that she just happened to open her eyes. But she opened up because we were singing the great hymns and reading scripture to her. And it's amazing to me, even in her last days, when you would quote scriptures to her, she would move her lips with you as you quoted them.
Amen.
How did that happen? The Spirit of God was bringing those things to her mind. Oh, the Comforter introduced. Thank God for the Comforter. So we see, number one, the Comforter introduced. Number two, I want us to notice the confusion of Judas. It's interesting because we find in verse 22, after Christ talks about his person, the fact that he is God, his presence, that he's in believers, but not in unbelievers, and his purpose is to encourage us and enable us and echo Christ's words. Now Judas speaks up. Remember, this is not Iscariot. And this is the fourth question that has taken place, that has been asked in this upper room. Christ had been speaking to them, and the first one was back in chapter 13 and verse 36, where Peter piped up and said this after Christ said he was going away, "Lord, whither thou go? Whither goest thou?" Then in chapter 14 and verse 5, we find Thomas asking the second question after Christ talks about heaven. We read, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And then in verse 8, Philip, the third disciple, the third apostle, decides to ask a question. He says this there in verse 8, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us."
Amen.
Now it's Judas's turn, not Iscariot again. Notice what he says. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?"
Amen.
He's confused. It's new to him.
Amen.
Christ says he's going to be with us and in us, and he's not going to leave us comfortless. How are you going to do that? You know, he was only thinking physically. He didn't understand how Christ would manifest himself to them, but not manifest himself to the world. You know, maybe he thought this, "Well, I wonder if he's going to like go hide in the woods somewhere, and then we'll have to go sneak out there and find him so the world doesn't see him, but we see him." Maybe that's what he means by that. But how could this be? You know, the Old Testament was full of the idea of God with his people.
Amen.
God manifests himself. God was with them often. God said to Moses in Exodus 33:14, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." When the Israelites marched out of Egypt, remember, they were led through the wilderness by fire by night and a pillar by day. And God, that was a manifestation of God with them. Isaiah mentioned God with believers as well in chapter 43 and verse 2 when he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee." He'll be with them. But this idea of God in his people was unheard of.
Amen.
May I say it is a New Testament truth?
Amen.
Do you know the privilege that you and I have as New Testament believers? We have things that that Old Testament saints did not have. We have things today that even the apostles did not have. And we still struggle with living a Christian life.
Right.
We have the completed Word of God.
We
have from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation, we have all the words of God, everything we need. It's powerful for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. But that's not all we have.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
You know, that's confusing to some people. You know why? Because we're so used to the physicality of things, the tangibility of things. If we don't see it, we think it's not there. And we often confuse this. I think that's why Paul said to the church at Corinth, "Know ye not?" He's saying, "Don't you know? Don't you understand this? Don't you get this? That you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?"
Amen.
And I wonder sometimes if we're confused as well. Do you know that when you sit in a service or you read your Bible or you sit in a Sunday school lesson and you feel conviction, you feel guilt, you feel something pressuring you when the truth of God goes forth? You know, so often many people don't even realize that's God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's the Lord speaking to you. That's just that preacher. No. It's God. You know, I remember when my wife and I first got saved, I felt like Judas, not Iscariot. I felt like, I'm going to throw that in every time. I felt like I didn't understand some things. We were sitting in services. We had just gotten saved. We'd sit about the second or third row. We'd hear preaching of the Word of God. And I'd think this in my mind. I really did. I think the preacher's in our home somehow. It felt that way.
Amen.
I thought, how does he know this stuff? Is he watching me? Does he have some KGB Baptist group that's following people around and reporting? I felt like every sermon, he was sitting in my living room.
Amen.
I did.
Praise the Lord.
Then I realized something. That wasn't a preacher at all.
Amen.
That was God. That was the Spirit of God. And I remember when we were coming from membership, and I've told this story many times, we sat before the deacons in Mainland Baptist Church, and they said, "How do you know you're saved?" I went to John 3:16. But after that, I said this, you know, something weird is happening. I feel like there's, and this is how I described it, I feel like there's this filter in my life that I've never felt before. I said, there are things that bother me now that never bothered me before. There's things I see in my home that I lived with day after day, and now they bother me, and I see they're wrong. There's things I listen to, there's books I have, there's music on my shelf, and man, it bothers me. I feel convicted about that.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You know what that was? The Spirit of God.
Amen.
Do you know that if that is the Spirit of God speaking to us, and it's pretty important to listen.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
Amen.
But don't be confused. God's Spirit indwells in us to guide us, to lead us, to convict us. And all of those things, do not ignore Him. Listen to Him. Respond to Him. Don't be confused about what's going on in your life. That is God's Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
Which leads me to number three. And that is this. The Comforter introduced. The confusion of Judas, and then thirdly, the condition explained. Oh, God, help us through this one. Notice what we read in verse 21. After the Lord talks about this comforter, we read, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me.
Amen.
And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." And notice this phrase, "and will manifest myself to him."
Praise the Lord. Amen.
"He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you."
Amen.
Do you know that while the Holy Spirit's presence in a believer is not conditional, we could say conditional on salvation. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. But if you're a saved person, His presence in your life is not conditional. You can't say, "Well, I don't want you here today, so could you please move out and find another residence?" It doesn't work that way. Jesus said it Himself in John chapter 14, that the Comforter's coming to be with you and to be in you, and He is going to be inside of you forever. So understand again, His presence is not conditional, but watch this, His manifestation to us is.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Look what I just read there in verse 23. "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." In other words, the Holy Spirit of God wants to speak to us and minister to us and so forth, but He's only going to do it to those that love Him.
Amen.
And the way we show our love to Him is by, wow, we're back in last week's message.
Amen.
Is our obedience to Him. Do you know that if you continually stiff-arm the Spirit of God, if there's a place in my life or your life that I say, and by the way, we all have them, that I say, you know what, I'll obey there and I'll obey there, but that one, you know what, I'm having a little trouble with that one. And if we stiff-arm God and we say, no, I'm not going to do it, and that could be anything. I could throw some things out there, not trying to aim a gun at anybody, but church attendance or tithing or witnessing or being soul-winning or read your Bible and praying. And if we say, no, 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 you know what God's going to do? He's going to stop talking to us. You know, if I were to take my finger and a pen, and maybe this is a better example. I used to work at Electronics Boutique through college, through Bible college, my second go at college. I went at undergrad, and then I got saved, and I had to finish up my Bible credits to get my Bible degree. Anyway, the point is, it was working my way through Bible college. I worked at Electronics Boutique, and all I did, I was basically, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, I was just a grunt guy. I just packed boxes. I mean, I was just doing all that stuff. When I first started working there, I came up, my hands were cut all the time. We used box cutters, and believe it or not, those the edges of a cardboard box, if you slide your hand on that thing, it'll cut you really good. But I noticed after a couple of years of working there, my hands were like leather in a sense. Not real, real bad, but enough to where I could do that. It didn't bother me. I could even take a box cutter and poke my finger to an extent and not do anything. Why is that? Calluses. Do you know it's the same with our heart? If we hear something and the Spirit of God speaks to us, you know what happens? It happens the same way. We go, ooh.
Amen.
Oh, I need to fix that.
Amen.
And then we don't. And then we come in again and we hear a message on the same thing. You know what? It's not as ooey and aye as it was. And then after a while, we hear it and stiff arm God. Before you know it, it doesn't even bother us anymore. And the Spirit of God says, and I'll say it the way a parent would say it, I'm not wasting my words. I'm not going to waste my breath. When you're ready to hear, I'll speak again. You say, preacher, is that biblical what you're saying? I think so. Let me show you. We're done right here. Go to Hebrews chapter 3, if you would. And we're going to end with this. Hebrews chapter 3. Notice we read in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, Hebrews 3, 7, today, if ye will hear His voice, notice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. You heard of the grieving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to them, do this, do that. I'm trying to lead you in a way that I want you to go. And we don't do it, we grieve. Grieve Him.
Amen.
And our hearts get hard. One last verse. Go to 1 Thessalonians to your left. Chapter 5. At the end of the book. Last chapter. In verse 19. Very simple phrase. Quench not the Spirit. That word means quench, extinguish. I always liken it to this. If there was a candle here and that light was represented the Spirit of God and it's trying to burn in my life and I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see the light, I don't want God to reveal in my heart an area that I don't want Him to touch, whether it be my time or my talent or my treasure or the things I endear, and I don't want to give that to God and I say no to Him, it's the same as if I were to lick my fingers and take that and pinch that flame and go, and it's gone. God says, I'm here.
Amen.
I'm not going to talk until you listen.
Amen.
Folks, God sent us the Spirit of God, if you're saved,
Amen.
In our hearts, not to hurt us, not to hinder us from having fun. Oh, God's a killjoy. He just don't want me to do anything. You don't understand God. That's like a child saying, I want to run in the street, in the highway there, because I want to go play out there. And you'd say, that's foolish. There's cars. You're going to get hit. You're going to get hurt. No, I just think it's right. That's the way we are sometimes with God.
Right.
Well, God wants us to have the best life possible.
Amen.
But it's only going to happen if we listen to His voice.
Amen.
We're not in this alone.
Praise the Lord.
He's with us.
Praise the Lord.
To help us. We just have to listen to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together.